Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for many of these activities that have just been started in Block 253. Lord, there's a call for volunteers. But you have told us, Lord, that we are not to neglect the poor, the fatherless, the people in need. And therefore, Lord, you didn't ask for volunteers. You asked for commitment to work with you, to care for the fatherless and those who are vulnerable. So today, Lord, even as we look at this video clip, you have told us to be participants, not spectators, because some of us don't even know there's a need going on. So, Lord, even as we hear your word this morning, will you direct our attention to who we should help, who we should serve? For in your kingdom, you look for servants. And your word has told us clearly that if we refuse to serve you with joyfulness and gladness of heart, your word clearly tells us that we'll serve our enemies. Enemies that you send against us because we have wasted our time. We are not servants. We become consumers. So today, Lord, I ask Holy Spirit for a fresh anointing, for wisdom, for learning for each one of us. Show us, Lord, what you want us to change. For every week, Lord, we are supposed to change. Where we should change, how to change our situations which are bad, and how to change our own lives so that we will be godly people that glorifies Jesus. But we worship you, Father. You are able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. So today we are going to ask, as we hear your word, we'll ask, show us, Lord, what we need to know, the dangers that are ahead. And show us, Lord, why we need to volunteer, so to speak, to be servants in your kingdom. Holy Spirit, will you open our eyes that we might see wondrous things out of your word? We cast away every spirit of superiority. Every spirit that tells whether we decide what we want to do, but Lord, we want to decide what you want us to do. So, Holy Spirit, will you help both hearers and speaker that you will have free course today in our midst? Grant that we might change from one glory to another level. We will not just walk away here, Lord, today, the same we walk in. Bring about that change, Holy Spirit, as we offer our lives to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about chapter 27 in the book of Deuteronomy. Last week we did mention a few things. One of the things is in the law of God, we need to understand or see God's love and God's wisdom embedded in these pages. And one of the things that you need to know and get out of is the idea that the Old Testament is out of date, doesn't apply to us now. This is wrong. The Word of God is actually given to us so that we will be thoroughly equipped, ready to do what we need to do that God has commanded us, to make ourselves useful. So, chapter 27 has got two parts. The first part has to do with setting up the altar. Every time God wants us to do, wherever we go, we set up an altar to the Lord. This morning, as we gather here in the midst, you are setting up an altar. When you came to worship together, we are setting up the altar. When you set up the altar, God comes. No altar, God doesn't come. Every time you worship together, you are setting up an altar. Remember this. We are not coming here because this is a clubhouse meeting. We are setting up an altar. So that's the first part. The second part of this chapter gives you what we call warnings. Warnings that plague every one of us. But as you read, just in a cursory reading, most people will say this kind of thing is not applicable to me, especially young people, especially those in university. Every student who goes to university thinks they know more than anybody else. When we graduate, we feel we know nothing because we don't know how to make use of what we know. So we are going to follow closely with this. And there's a note. So this is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to cover things this way. I'm going to ask you to come with me on the notes. I have got a So, firstly, maybe I should explain. The first thing I want to explain here, because I'm trying to think how to make things simple. The first thing we have to understand is, what is the problem? What is the problem when we cover today's passage? There is a problem here. The problem is the problem of foreseeability. It's very hard to foresee the future. Today, the latest report says Singapore is the fourth richest nation in the world. Our individual income is double that of an average American. But it comes with one problem. God says in His Word in chapter 28, verse 47, that because you did not serve the Lord in a time of prosperity, 28, 45 to 47, because you did not serve me with joyfulness and gladness at a time of prosperity, you will serve your enemies in hunger, thirst, nakedness, means you don't have enough clothes to put on, dire poverty, you serve your enemies. That'll be the outcome. So we need to choose. So we cannot foresee. Singaporeans basically cannot foresee days of hunger, poverty, and nakedness, meaning lack of clothing. I don't think you can foresee those days. Foreseeability is one of the biggest problems. And today I'm trying to help you to foresee certain things. And firstly is the dangers that is ahead. We all face dangers. In your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your future, in your career. The second problem is we find it very hard to see the probabilities that will happen to us. So, probability means I don't think all these curses really will happen. I don't think God really wants to curse anybody. I don't think it applies to us. God is a God of blessing. So, you could, therefore, the day when I'm going to see poverty is very hard to foresee. So, the Word of God gives us a lot of insights to the danger ahead, but very hard for us to even understand it because we haven't come to it. In the last month, few months, I was studying on the subject of family, and Divorce is a breaking of a family. 9 out of 10 cases, the person who committed adultery did not foresee that they will destroy the entire family, their marriage, and their own lives. They could not foresee it. Every one of them could not foresee it. And some of them can't even tell them why they did it. They say, I just did it. Because they did not have a clear direction as to what they're supposed to do and what they are not supposed to do. When you come to a situation with an empty head, you of course will just anyhow respond. So God gives us warnings, and this chapter 27 is very hard to understand because we haven't come to it. But the problem is when you come to it and you hit the wall, it's too late. So I minister to some people who have gone through a divorce. And so in one case, and most cases, from the reports I read, when the party, the wife or the husband, committed sin, why did you do it? Did you know that you're going to destroy our family and our marriage and our children and everything you have? Did you know it? Answer is yes. But I didn't believe it will happen. It is not so probable. I thought I can solve it. I thought we can mend. I thought this, I thought that, you see? This is a problem. You cannot foresee dangers, and you cannot foresee the probability that it will happen. Probability, is it 10 out of 10 or 1 out of 10? Most of them say 1 out of 10. But when it hit them, it was gone. And so, probability is very hard to foresee. Don't tell me you can foresee what's going to happen. Even though you read the scripture, but the problem is you do not think it will happen to you. This is what is happening everywhere. So as you come to today's topic, I want to know that this is our big problem, foreseeability. So if God can impart to us how to foresee the dangers, then we prepare ourselves. But if you know that there are dangers, but you think, no, I don't think it will happen to me, then you cannot prepare yourself. If you are a driver, you need to foresee that in the day that if anybody hit your car, you have to foresee, okay, what do I need to do? But if you think it will never happen to me, then when the accident happened, you are dead loss. You panic. So this is a problem. But a car can easily be repaired. But families will not be so easy to repair the moment it's destroyed. And Satan works full time to destroy families. So I'm going to cover 3 aspects today. I'm going to talk about signs, so you will understand what are the signs that there are curses, so you can recognize it. What are the causes? So that's the sequence. And what are the solutions? God's solutions, all right? So these are the 3 things I'm going to cover. Now, to do this, I'm going to be using part of my notes. And so in my introductory remarks, I give you this verse, Deuteronomy. Can I enlarge it? All right, Deuteronomy 27:8 or 9, okay. I'll read to you. Be silent, O Israel, and listen. You know, it's obvious that you have to listen, right? But you'd be surprised how often God says, listen, because we don't, very hard to pay attention. You have now become, take note of the pretense, become the people of the Lord your God. Today, you have become now. Today you have become the people of God. Don't tell outsiders. It's you and me involved. God is speaking to us. Obey the Lord your God and follow his commands and decrees I give you today. So, there are tense. The first part is today. This is what I want you to take note. Then the second part, God says, in the future when it comes, you shall. Okay, there are two parts. In chapter 27, the first part says, today. But the second part says, you shall. All right, so what are the two parts? We will look at it. The first thing I want to highlight in this introduction is, here is another call for, by the way, if you got a notes, please you underline whatever are the keywords so you can follow. The solemn renewing of the covenant with God. This is again, you know, before we go into the next phase of life, we always have a solemn covenant. We always renew covenant. God every time declares. When we make a declaration, God makes his declaration. Previous week in chapter 26, we talk about the God declaring, I'll set you up for success. I'll set you up so that you will be on high, so that you'll be high above all the nations of the earth. Because you are my people. I'll set you up for success so that you'll be up. And later on, you hear words like, you'll always be the head and not the tail, and so on. But you know, you cannot just have good things, but don't forget that there are also bad things if we renegade on the declaration. So God has made again another declaration in this chapter. You have now become the people of the Lord. There are privileges that the people of the Lord has, outsiders do not have. There is a special relationship in which God says, I'll set you up for success, but you need to follow my commandments. Do it my way. The second thing in this chapter, the second half, is the word Amen being repeated. And that's future tense. And you shall say Amen. Now, this is a very important. It's repeated 12 times in this short passage in the second half. Now, this Amen word is very important. Do you know that this Amen word is associated with Christians? Some years back, I was testing some cranes in a big construction work site. And one supervisor speaking Mandarin came up to me. And he asked me, Mister, are you an Amen? Are you Amen or not? I said, see me say Amen. Then I said, oh, when you pray, Amen. I said, yeah, I belong to Amen. Even non-Christians know the value of Amen. But you know, in this church, I seldom hear Amen. When the truth is spoken, I don't hear Amen. You know, Amen means, I agree. Be assured. Sure thing. If you agree, you can say Amen. Thank you, Ling. Yeah, I seldom hear this Amen thing. I hope the day will come and people ask, are you belong to the Amen people or not? Amen? Okay, good. So you see repeated 12 times because it is a proclamation of your covenant. Covenant agreement, we say Amen. So, the meaning is given. What does saying Amen to curse imply? It means that you have faith in the truth of these curses. You see, God is stating a truth. So if you say, yes, I believe that this is the truth, then you say Amen. All right. So we were talking about why we find 27 very difficult to follow because we cannot foresee how it applies to us. But it's a very important chapter because it's unique in many ways. But some of it, you might find it a bit hard to agree. Because we imbibe a lot of value systems from the world about tolerance, what is right. Last week, I told you there are three things about the Amalekites. Remember the Amalekites, what is it about? It's related to Israel, about anti-Semitism is wrong because of three things. One, because of God's covenant agreement with Abraham. Because God said, if anybody curse Abraham and his descendants, I will curse him. And secondly, I say we owe a debt to the Israelites because when we needed help, they were the only ones who helped us to set up our army. Within 2 years, we had a fighting force. Within 3 years, we had an armored battalion. Okay. Then thirdly, I told you that if Jerusalem is the apple of God's eye. What I'm trying to tell you is there are a lot of things that God is saying about Israel. I didn't say, Israel is right to kill Palestinians. Oh, God loves Jews more than Palestinians. I didn't say that. But some don't agree. Some say, what about these hungry people and so on? Yes, there are a lot of problems. I'm trying to give you a spiritual perspective because of what the scripture says. But the problem is this, all of us are subject to fake news. The latest I read in technology is, in AI, is they can take a video of a robbery scenery, and they can insert your picture right inside the robbery so that you become a robber. But you are not there. Yes, previously we used Photoshop and all. Now they are more sophisticated. They can insert you in and you also carry a gun and you are robbing the bank. So now fake news is so easy to fake. Media gives you full of fake news. And we find very hard to stomach truth. This is a problem. But we are subjected to a worldview that is full of fake news. Fake values. Because we don't know what's happening behind the scene. We don't know what's the full truth. Everybody has his own agenda. And the public news agencies have their own agenda, depends on who is paying. Say, you need to get your news from the Word of God. So this is why chapter 27 becomes quite hard to understand. But let me start with the last page of your... Have you got your newsletter? I'm going to start with the signs, which is the last page. Can you turn to the last page? Please have your notes. In the last page, I give you 7 signs. I covered these 7 signs 3 years ago. Can you fill it up now? Fill it up now. Common signs. These are common. What does A stand for? Anyone? What is the first sign? A. I give you all these notes 3 years back. What does the first sign A? A stands for what? Ah, okay, very good. Accident proneness. That means if you are falling all the time, or every time you walk, you fall and you break your leg. 3 times you broke the same leg. That is a clear sign. 2 times, maybe come see, come saw, not very sure. 1 time, maybe you cannot make any conclusion. But 3 times, yes. There is an accident proneness. It seems to get a lot of accidents. That's the first thing. B, what is B? Okay, barrenness. That means it can be barrenness of the womb or can be barrenness in your... You cannot produce anything. You work so hard, but you produce nothing. C, can you remember? C, can you write down, please? If you don't know, fill it in the blank. C stands for? Chronic diseases or chronic sickness. That means a person always gets sick. On and off, it's forever. This kind of sickness come up, next time it's another kind of sickness. He's always sick. He feels sick and he's sick, chronic sickness. D, what is D? Sorry? Death or premature death. Everybody have to die, but death here is speaking about premature. Usually premature means what? Person 20 years old suffered and died, or accidents, or it's premature. If a person died at age 100, that's not premature death. All right. Or if he's died at 120, that's not premature. That's natural. So we are not talking about natural death. Then E. What's the E? Anybody? E. Okay, emotional. Correct. Emotional breakdown. So what is emotional breakdown? Emotional breakdown can be described with two words. Confusion. Secondly, depression. A person feels so depressed or frustration. Of course, everybody faces some kind of frustration, but this one goes to such a state where you feel very depressed. And usually the cause of this has got a spiritual root. And it's usually to do with witchcraft or, things like use of horoscopes, objects of to do with witchcraft. But anyway, emotional breakdown, when a person just cannot control himself. F1, what is F? Sorry? Money no enough. Okay, financial lack. It means that at the end of every month when you pay all the bills, it's always not enough. You're always owing money. Pay your bills. Singapore is the fourth richest nation in the world, but there are still people who will face this. By the way, financial problem is not always those with low income group. There are a lot of rich people somehow cannot solve their cash flow problem. A lot of assets, but somehow they have to borrow money to pay simple bills. Sometimes to have a meal, you have to borrow money. It's not how much you earn. It is how much you lack, even though you earn so much. The devil takes away your wealth. The Bible says Satan works full-time to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So what does he steal? He steals your money. So somehow whatever you invest in goes to pot. That means cannot get any returns. Another F would be family breakup. Families break up, like divorce. Families cannot get together. Siblings quarrel, sue each other in court. So the family cannot get along. So this is a sign of a curse. These are not all, but this would be considered the common signs. So if you are in any of this category, it's not going to be solved if you just use common sense. There are spiritual roots. So God, therefore, Is it God behind it? No, not necessarily. Most of it will be caused by our own selves. But these are signs. All right, we talk about the cause in a minute. So before we talk about I'm going to go into the para two. What are the sources of curses? All right, I'm going to go into this. But before I do so, I like to run through the Word of God and show you where it says what. Right. First of all, what are the four questions you always ask when you read the Word of God? You ask when, you ask where, you ask what is it about, and you ask who is talking about. So here, chapter 27, Moses with the elders. So it's not just Moses, but Moses and the elders commanded the people, saying, what does commanded mean? It means he's not asking for volunteers. Just now our chairman asked for volunteers. Not a single one volunteered. Very discouraging for chairman. But I almost put up my hand, I volunteer. But it says here, not volunteer. You say commanded. Commanded doesn't give you a choice. Of course, you have a choice. But it's not a call for volunteers. It's a call of commandment. And the command again and again, keep all the commandments that I commanded you today. So now Moses and the elders are speaking to the people. Then he projects, take note of the tense, when. Verse 2, and shall be, it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, has not given you, is giving you, you are possessing it. You shall set up for yourselves large stones and whitewash them with lime. So the first step, God says, wherever you do, the first thing you need to do, what is it? Set up an altar. Pick up the stones to set up an altar. So what kind of stone? Please pick up. And in the end, later on, they took some stones from the bed of the riverbed as they walked through. And then he says here, then you shall write on them all the words of this law. So you need to write them. You shall write them. You shall write them. Underline those words. Write them. Well, of course, the New Testament says write them on the fleshly tables of your heart. Write them. How do you write it on your heart? By memorizing them. So what do you do after this? Then it shall be, verse 4. Let's jump a bit. When you have crossed over the Jordan, then you'll have two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. There, verse 5, you shall build an altar to the Lord. All right? You shall build an altar. So, wherever you go, build an altar. When you build the altar, the Lord will come. Okay? In your home, when you worship, when we meet together and worship, we are building the altar of the Lord. But here, in those days, the altar of stones, you shall not use an iron tool on them. It means don't base on your own works. This altar is based on God's grace, not your works. Okay. Then, verse 8, you shall write very plainly on the stone all the words of this law. So can you see how many times it's repeated? Write these words on the stone. Write it out, write it out, write it out. And then when it's all over, then the last verse says, cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law. Confirm all the words. So you write the words and you confirm the words. This, the essence of this chapter. Why? Because verse 9 says, this day, all right, the tense now change from future to the present. Present tense, you can't change the past. You're going to change your future. Your future change depends on your choice today. So the choice today you're going to make is this. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. You have become. Therefore, these rules apply to you. We are not talking about outsiders. Why these rules apply to you? Because it helps you to avoid dangers. Now, it says here, the first thing, what are the causes? For the first cause is all in your notes, but I want to run through this verse by verse, and I'll explain. It's found in your para 2, but I don't want to toggle too many notes, so I'll go direct from here. But the explanations are in your notes. The first rule or the first cause is what it says. What does it say? You stand on Mount Gerizim and so on, and all of them. Now this one, all of them. Okay, can you see? Where does it say? Verse 14, and a Levite will speak in a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, what do you say? Number one, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and set it up in secret. So a person who makes images, this is the second commandment, right? But the thing is this, do we have this problem or not? Well, actually, this is the most common problem of all Christians, why their blessings cannot flow into their lives. They've got something secret in their hearts. What's the secret problem? They have an idol in their hearts. What is an idol? An idol is anything that is not, that displaces the place of God. Jesus has to be Lord. The day that Jesus is not Lord, and your entertainment is more important than Jesus, your money or your friendship or what activity, your hobby, whatever it is, if it supersedes Lordship of Jesus, even though it's in the secret of your heart, you didn't tell anybody, you still have the curse coming. When Lordship of Jesus is compromised, you can forget about blessings. So when blessings are being blocked, then the curse flows. So it's not like, I don't have blessing, but I'm okay. No, it's not like that. It's either one or the other. So Lordship is involved. So you need to know that if we allow any idol to creep in our hearts, then the covenant is broken. So Jesus must come first. Not even your career or your finances, because this is foundational for the blessings to flow. The moment Jesus is no more Lord, yeah, you say, I believe in Jesus. But what do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is Lord, or do you just believe that Jesus is going to be a blesser? No. First of all, the Lordship of Jesus. You compromise that, no blessing. So sometimes, you see, we have a problem. We ask for a lot of things, and everything I analyze in my life are all bad things. How come? First thing to check, is Jesus Lord in my life? Or is my hobby or entertainment, whatever. What do you mean by Jesus is Lord? That means whatever choices you make, it must align with pleasing Jesus. That's it. And when you align with things that pleases Jesus, the blessings will flow. If not, there is no blessing. The curse will still flow. Oh, but I'm a Christian. Yes, the people of God, Moses is talking to a people of God. He's not talking to non-Christians. Then secondly, what is the second problem? Dishonoring parents. What does it say? By the way, after he says about calf image in verse 15, what did all the people say? How many people said amen? Everybody said amen. All 2 million of them said amen. And how did they say the amen? Can you tell me? What does the scripture say? How did they say? They say, amen. How did they say it? Yeah, they shouted. All the people shall answer, amen. But I think the other version says, and they said loudly. It was always a loud response. And so they all said, amen. By the way, earlier on, the Levites are supposed to proclaim. And verse 14, and the Levites shall speak with a loud voice. So when proclaiming the word of God, say it loudly. So the Levites have to say it loudly to all the men of Israel. So that's how everybody therefore have to shout loudly as well. So they agreed. So then the second thing is about honoring parents. Why is honoring parents the fifth commandment so important? Because if a person cannot honor his parents who sweat their lives to feed them, give birth, take care of them, change their diapers, feed them until they are adults, can't even appreciate their own parents, how can you ever appreciate God's goodness? Someone estimated it costs roughly $1 million to raise a kid from babyhood to graduation. Depends. I sponsored one of my children for a PhD. That one come quite close to $1 million. But the point is this. If your parents give you so much, can't you even honor them? You honor them with what? If you are working, give them some allowance. By the way, not $10, $20 allowance. Something substantial. So honoring parents is a commandment with a promise of long life. Why? Because modern people don't honor parents. This is a problem. Most children, when they become adults, especially if they are in university, they usually think the parents are not so smart. You know, we are smart because we got university. Parents, no university, cannot be that smart. You know, that's not the truth. But respect is not how smart the parents are. Respect is because God says so. And whatever you have in here and in your body, the DNA came from your parents. God has used them. So honor them. Be careful. Never call your father old man. Never look down your father because he's got low pay. Honor him. Learn to honor him. Speak politely to him. I know of one man who graduated and now earning big bucks running a big digital company. But the father has got dementia. So he can't even articulate what he wants. So the son, the way he talks to the father, he doesn't respect the father. One time, he asked me a question, and the father tried to answer. He said, no, I don't want to hear your answer. I want to hear Swen So's answer. So what if your father's answer is not so appropriate? He's the father. So this is an attitude problem. A person who cannot respect his father can never respect God. So it becomes a very important role. Today's young people don't bother with the father. Then the next verse talk about boundaries. Do you notice that this is a call to do not move your boundary marks? Verse 17. Cursed is a man. What is moving boundary marks have to do? It has to do with cheating. Cheating of any form and shape is an act of deception. Yes, there's some personal gain, but there's deception. Do you know God hates deception? Marriage cannot succeed when there's deception. Our own lives will not succeed if there's deception in your life. There must be integrity. That's why every man, young ladies, if you marry any man, one unnegotiable element is he must be a man of integrity. If he cannot keep his word or he lies, write him off. Because he can tell one lie, he'll tell 100 lies. Deception is of the devil. So God expects every man that he will not cheat. Don't move boundary lines. God also set boundary lines of behavior. God says the boundary lines he set in the next verse has got to do with sexual purity. But of course, many young people think it doesn't apply anymore. But God says that you don't shift boundary lines. Oh, but we are now in a modern world. This Bible is ancient past. Is it? God never gives any instruction that is out of date. He foresees the future. He knows what carries. So he says, don't move boundary lines. Don't move boundary lines in sexual purity and behavior. Today, it's very hard to talk. At one time, I was contemplating to talk about sexual purity to young people. And when I thought over it, I said, Lord, you know, this topic is very hard to talk. Because today, young people, when they reach the age, they did a survey in America. By age 19, they already had sex. And if they hadn't had, everybody laughed at him. Can you see what a strange movement of boundaries in behavior? And some of these things that are given in this chapter, I assure you, many of you think it doesn't apply to you. What are some of the boundaries that will be shifted? Take a look at the next verse. The next four verses, it says here, verse 18. Okay, let me cover verse 18 first. Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. Cursed are people who mislead the blind. We know it's very cruel, right? If there's a blind person walking on the road, tapping his leg, and then you lead him so that he falls into the ditch, that is severe cruelty. I think most of us will be very angry if we see that. However, in the spiritual realm, some of us have to take note that there are many people who are blind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says that Satan has blinded the eyes of people, Christians or non-Christians, so that we cannot see the truth, cannot understand the truth. So a non-believer, a pre-believer, or somebody who have not heard the gospel, the Bible says they are blind. The Bible doesn't say to laugh at people because they are blind spiritually. So we have a duty to share and enable, point them the way. The Bible says that Satan blinds people who know not the truth. So we have to find a way to teach and to impart the truth. So yesterday I learned a lot. We started our session on how to teach the Word of God, how to build a family and a home. And I learned a lot from Dr. Tan Mei Ying's presentation. Okay. And she mentioned about how to have a conversation and move people from, she gave us an example of how a teenager, 12 years old, who had been reading the book of on evolution by a writer called Harari, a bestseller. Bestseller book begins, this book is telling you the truth. The truth is that men come from animals. Men are animals. So how do you shift the person's thinking from a lie to the truth? So she shared with us how she did it. I thought, oh, that's very creative. Those of you who are parents, especially, I didn't see any young parents on this program. I didn't see young, I see a lot of old parents, grandmas, grandpas, but I didn't see any fathers and mothers. Hey, do yourself a favor. Learn something from what we are covering. How to impart truth to your children. Because if you don't, one day your children will tell you all you believe are all nonsense and you don't know how to talk. So learn how to lead the blind. Children are all blind spiritually unless we input to them the truth. So there are many blind people. And sometimes we say we don't waste time. Or we say we don't know how. No, it's our job to find a way to lead the blind, spiritually blind, to the knowledge of the truth in Christ. But I want to highlight on this next one, verse 19. Before that, verse 19. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. Okay, let me see. You got this. The fatherless and those who pervert justice due to the stranger. The fatherless and the widow. Now take note of this. The fatherless and the widow and the aliens are people with needs. They can't help themselves. This is why we showed you the video clip just now. What's happening? You know, the Word of God here says that you and I have a duty to help the fatherless, the weak, and those who are poor. So, we are all very busy people. The busiest people are retirees. Don't believe, ask them. Everybody is busy. But God expects us to cut a slot out where you serve someone else. I'm looking for not volunteers, but people who might help me to start a ministry to help the children of those who are in prison. Children whose fathers are in prison are fatherless. They are not so easy to help. Yes, it takes a lot of patience. I feel this is one ministry. I'd like to see someone take part. We got two people from our church who goes to the participate in the prison ministry. Yiling is one of them. But what about their children? Not so easy to handle. So we have got many pictures here, but so some are elderly, yes, they also need help. Some are latchkey kids last time, but now they have grown, but they still need friends. So we have got ministry to the elderly. We teach them music. It's just a vehicle. We have train people who lead the elderly for the physical exercises. But those are not supposed to connect with them to help them. So we need members who cut out time, whether Tuesday or Thursday, exercise with them, join them, and maybe make friends with some of them. And maybe we can help them in getting them to know the knowledge of the truth. So the care for the fatherless is not for volunteers. There's a command to do so. Because when you care for the fatherless, the Heavenly Father cares for you too. Your children will never be fatherless because you're willing to take care of the fatherless. Remember this. But the next four is a little bit more explicit. They are called shifting of boundary lines in sexual morality. If you look at these four, most of you say, maybe it doesn't apply to us. For instance, he says, cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's bed. Now, we don't like to talk about this. It's a bit, sounds a bit vulgar. Does it happen? I read reports that this is happens. Of course, it's not his direct mother. Maybe it's a stepmother. How many times you look at the newspaper, this is happening. Stepmothers do it with the stepson who have grown up, of course. Secondly, the people shall say amen, right? And cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animals. We say this is too vulgar even to think, but it happens. There are even TV programs that show this kind of thing. Number four, the third shifting of boundary lines, it says, verse 22. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, and the daughter of his mother. You read this in the papers all the time. Why is this happening? Incest is happening. What's wrong? Haven't they been told? But this is happening. It's in the papers all the time. Cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law. Now, I thought at first this cannot happen, but you see how many stories, even in the internet, how many cases where people describe how wonderful it is. But God says, don't even think about it. These are the extreme end of perversion. But of course, it cannot cover everything. Any form of sexual activity outside of God's word is not good. Going back to this American report, by age 19, every youth would have already done it. If you are able to say, no, I'm not going to be part of that statistics, God will honor you. Wait for your turn. It will come. And any extramarital activity is a no-no because it will destroy you, because it carries a curse. Now, most people don't understand this. Will God participate in this? Read the Word of God. God says your sin will sure to find you out. It's very, very hard to conceal it because God promises to expose it. Even King David, with all his strategy, couldn't cover up. He tried this, he tried that. How come he couldn't work? Because God was blocking it. And he had to pay a price. Oh, but you know, he was bored. Why was it? Oh, he was bored, you know. In those days, kings are supposed to be out in battle. He didn't find anything meaningful to do, so he stayed home and sleep and drink, and got so bored. He needs some excitement. This is the same story every adultery case comes out with. If you are bored, you are definitely the devil's workshop. So everyone, without exception, whether you're a full-time housewife or whether you are working, make sure, husband and wife, you have a meaningful ministry where you serve someone else. That's the only way to keep yourself safe. Boredom will kill you. Boredom is very, very hard to handle without looking for fresh excitement. And because if you don't have an ongoing ministry, if you don't have, get involved with helping the elderly in our 253 session, Tuesday and Thursday, pick one day. Get involved. You say, oh, but you know, I'm very busy. I'm sure I got better things to do. You know, I hobnob with CEOs or brainy people. Hey, you need to serve someone. Studies have shown that unless you're a servant to someone, you'll never see happiness. You need to be a servant. That's why when we last day come before Jesus, what the commendation does he give? To whom? He says, well done, good and faithful, what? Bosses? No, good and faithful servants. We're all servants. Until you serve, you'll not experience happiness. This is a fact of life. Just ask God who you should serve. Could be young people, can be teaching them music. If you are good in guitar, maybe you teach someone how to play the guitar. Music is a good avenue, but serve. And you serve the Lord, and you serve people. You serve the Lord through people. That's why in chapter 28, you're going to come in future sessions. God says, because you did not serve me joyfully and with gladness of heart, you will serve your enemies. This is a scriptural principle. Read that. It's found in chapter 28, verse 47. And God said, the enemies you serve will be people I'll send to you. But the sadness is, you serve them in dire poverty. Because when you are full of wealth and full of prosperity, you did not serve me with joyfulness. Then the day will come when you serve your enemies in poverty, in lack, in nakedness, and so on. So, in your prosperity, make sure you serve God by serving someone else. That's your protection. This is a scriptural principle. So, it says here, but avoid the boundaries. Sexual immorality. Especially if you are one of those who fly a lot, you travel, you are high class, be careful. Because God knows everything. He knows our hearts. Then he says here, verse 24, cursed is the man who attacks his neighbor secretly. Your NIV says, who murders someone. And all the people shall say, Amen. In verse 25, cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. Bribery is a very, very potent agency for shifting our values. And then lastly, cursed is the one who does not confirm, or your NIV says, uphold. All the words of this law. You see, if we ignore what God says here in this passage, it says here, it carries a curse. In other words, the blessings are missing. The bad things take place. Now, God begins with saying, write this and uphold this. Write this and uphold this. Write this on the tables of your heart. uphold it, carry it out, or confirm all the words of this law. God's laws are words of wisdom. So, take it seriously. Let me sum up by saying this. Most people don't think any of this will happen to them. So, why bother to remember? But why did God select this few? There are only seven areas. Because these are the most common stumbling blocks. Why we are not experiencing the fullness of His blessings. But even in old age, you will experience continuing blessing because you have obeyed. So, caring for the fatherless is one of them. Doing meaningful service is one of them. That's why I say everyone in BC need to involve with serving. You need to serve. You can choose where to serve, yes, but you need to serve. No idle person, because if you are idle, you'll soon be seeing a lack of blessing. So today we started talking about curses. Therefore, by the way, not all curses are inflicted by God. The reason is when God withholds His blessing, Satan always works full time to replace. That's a problem. Like poverty. Usually, well, one theologian said, God is not in the habit of inflicting poverty. I agree on poverty, yes. Because as you read the books like Judges and so on, you'll find that, and when Jesus came to teach, what did Jesus say? Satan come in to steal. So the guy who is thief, who stole all your wealth and your health, is Satan himself. How do you protect yourself? Well, understand what God has commanded. If you keep it, God's cover of protection is upon you. So I don't know what are the curses you have experienced in your life. But it will stay until you get rid of it. So I just ask you to be quiet for a moment. We'll be talk more on this topic in the days ahead. But why don't you, above all, protecting yourself? Is this something you want to agree with the Lord to say, yes, Lord, I confirm that I will uphold all these laws, spiritual principles. I will set up an altar. I will be a servant. I will serve you. Because those who do not serve God with joyfulness will end up serving the enemies. That's what God says. So maybe you want to tell the Lord what you want. Perhaps some of you are, the Lord has brought to mind some area of service. And you wonder whether you have the time. The Lord will always enable you to carve out time. Tell the Lord what you want Him to do to help you fulfill your own happiness by upholding these laws. Maybe shall we all stand for the benediction? Father, we recognize that some of the teachings of your word may not be so easy to swallow. Because, Lord, we are so used to fake news, fake truths, which are not truth at all. And as we seek to experience your abundant blessing by complying with these spiritual laws, Lord, I pray for diligence so that each of us will not just be walking our Christian life in theory only, but each of us will see your power in our experiences in our families. Lord, these are all family issues. I pray blessing upon every home that seeks to be of service to you, whether it be parents or children or young children. I speak success to those who have already committed time to help the elderly, or whether teaching the children guitar, or every ministry that will be ahead. Lord, multiply that and bring blessing and joy to people who are poor, who are vulnerable, who are fatherless. Lord, as we contemplate what we should do to serve, will you direct each of us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please go to your small groups.